I'm back.
How long was that? That period of time where there was no talking after the recorded button was pressed?
It was like a couple seconds.
Oh, okay.
See you guys.
That's like the thing when people like play it and then they go into another tab where they like put their phone in their pocket or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, it didn't work. And then they have to go back to the tab again and be like, oh no, wait, it's working. And then we'll start talking.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. It's all good.
We fooled everybody.
Fooled them all. Plus, maybe they're fumbling with their headphones and they're putting it in, and we give them that extra couple of seconds to, like, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know? We're courteous.
We think about our audience.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. we'd have structure.
We need an audience before we can think about it.
Yeah, true. We may as well just create content and then let it gain structure.
Yes. So what are we talking about today?
Well, before we get
wait, what's our names? I'm Dylan.
I'm Henry.
Okay.
And this is us, yo.
Yes. You're listening to Inaudible Pontification.
Inaudible Pontification.
Abbreviated to IP by popular demand of us.
The joke that doesn't technically work.
Yeah. So,
so what have we been doing? I guess we should say, because it's been a bit since we've posted, last time, I think it was like PAX was the last episode, so it's been a while.
Oh, damn, it's been a while.
So we've been in the real world, and other stuff's happened since PAX. Like, really? The world's end.
Oh. Man, it was that long ago?
It was that long ago.
Oh.
Well, and I guess we'll start about that. And we both liked it. I don't think we hated it. Like,
I don't think we hated it. No, I think that's accurate.
But I think, personally, I haven't seen the original two in a while, but personally, I thought the original two were smarter and more enjoyable. But I think it's more, like, from what I've heard, the best thing I've heard, description I've heard is, it's more quotable. The other two are more quotable, whereas this one's not as quotable. As being the operative word, not like it can't be quoted.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly Gary King is quotable, and that's, like, it.
Mm-hmm. I like it just as much as the other two, personally.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are like, don't like it because it's kind of more, it's parodying a genre that isn't as commonly known as the other two. Everyone knows zombie movies. No one has not seen a zombie movie. And everyone has seen a buddy cop movie, right?
Right.
Not as many people have seen, like, specifically British alien invasion Doctor Who episode movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I've watched Doctor Who, so I'm like...
Yeah, but...
Or like Doctor Who like British movies, or...
Doctor Who like.
Okay. Well, which I haven't seen Doctor
Who. Well, I mean, like, Doctor Who falls under that category as well. Obviously, okay. Doctor Who is Doctor Who like.
Okay,
but
well,
yeah. But you know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean. It just... I think in being
I
so...
I think it's because everyone's like, oh, I love zombie movies. Yeah, zombie movie parody. Whoa. And everyone loves... And it's easy to make fun of the things that you know really well. And now they make something that not everyone is as familiar with, and they don't like it as much.
I don't know. I think, like, I was listening to some reviews, and I agree with... Like, I liked the character bits and stuff, and when they jumped into a sci-fi, and it... I don't know. I mean, it's like, anything I point out is nitpicking. It's just kind of saying, like, this doesn't really work, this doesn't, but... I think it's not, it doesn't have the level of, I don't think it's really what we usually see from Edgar Wright, and I don't know.
I think it totally
There's
is.
A bit of good, there's a bit of, well, not like, I don't know, it's probably his most quiet of his movies, not like normal movies.
I guess.
I mean, especially after Scott Pilgrim, like.
Yeah, but Scott Pilgrim's not part of this trilogy.
No, but I'm just saying, like, from him specifically, because that's the main reason I love it.
I don't know. I like it a lot. I'm quite the fan.
Okay.
And I'm not even actually that big a fan of Doctor Who, so that's kind of weird.
Oh.
But yeah. So we saw that. What else did we see?
I don't really see a lot of movies after that. Was Pain and Gain good?
Yeah, Pain and Gain was mad. That movie was really fucking cool.
Michael Bay doing a good movie.
I wonder what the budget of that movie was, like, probably $30 million or something.
It didn't look like that much, from what I could see.
Nothing big happens in the movie. Like, the most elaborate scene involves, like, some weights. That's about it.
Any explosions?
No.
Ooh, that's interesting for Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bay, from what I can tell, one of my favorite ongoing internet theories is that he's just a guy that thinks people are evil. and you may as well just enjoy the ride while you watch them being...
Yeah, Pain and Gain falls under that category pretty well.
It's like Vazlon Trier, except not being
Lars
so...
Lars von Trier, not Vazlon.
Vaz?
Lars von...
Lars von Trier. Lars von Trier just being all, you know, hating people, but not being so poetic about it.
And just blowing them up instead of, like, talking about the problems of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, well, Pain and Gain fits well into that theory.
Bad Boys 2 was like that.
Man, Bad Boys 2 is good.
I need to watch that again. It's been so long. You know those movies you watch as a kid and, like, you know they're good, but it's been so long.
Yeah.
And you're just sort of like, yeah, but I...
I like the really, really fake naked woman dummy they have in that scene where they, like, use the naked woman on the table to... the naked dead woman on the table to, like, hide from gunfire or whatever. And it's, like, a really, really, really obviously fake, like, puppet thing.
Okay.
I'm into that.
Okay.
It's a cool scene.
Well, you saw a bunch of movies these, like, last couple of weeks. Like, after Pain and Gain, like, what did you watch?
I don't know. I saw Kick-Ass 2. Fucking hated it.
Alright. And then you saw...
Can I talk about Kick-Ass 2 and how much I hated it a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, so you know how Kick-Ass 1, right?
Yeah.
How it was, like, a parody of superhero movies. And it was like, look how dumb superhero movies are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how that was kind of the point of the movie. And it was like, look at how ridiculous all this crap is. And it was like making fun of it.
Yeah.
Through the violence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, Kick-Ass 2 didn't really get that at all. And it was just like being a really bad movie the whole time. It was great.
Why?
It was fucking awful.
Why was it being a bad movie?
Because there was no parody in Kick-Ass 2. It was just like, oh yeah, look at how ridiculous this is. You know, with the, like, the villain being called the motherfucker and stuff? Yeah. 33% of the jokes in that movie are the villain is called the motherfucker. I don't know how many times they say it.
Was Mother Russia any good?
No.
Really?
Yes.
I heard she was funny.
No. She was a big, burly lady with a Russian accent, and that was all there was to her.
Was her fight scene any cool?
Not really. She just kind of punched things really hard. I mean, I guess if that's what you're into, then it was pretty good.
Okay.
But I don't know if I wouldn't exactly call it world-choreographed
or anything. I don't know. There's nothing wrong if you hate it.
Fucking hate it. Okay, so there's this scene about halfway through the movie, right?
Yeah.
Where the film literally stops in its tracks for about 1.5 minutes to advertise a boy band.
Which band?
I don't remember. Not like a big famous one. It wasn't like One Direction or anything like that.
Oh, that would have been fun.
But literally... there is a scene going on, right?
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to a television that is in the scene where there is a boy band playing a video clip of one of their songs, and then you just watch it for like a minute, and then the movie keeps going. That's just in the movie, like that's not a big deal.
Is it made up in the movie, or...?
No, I'm pretty certain it's a real band.
Okay.
And it's just an ad for this band.
Okay.
Like, what the fuck is that? You can't do that.
Okay. I don't know.
You can't do that.
I haven't seen the movie.
You should... I think it's worth watching just for that scene.
Was Night Bitch cool? Was any of the
no.
other
Night Bitch was... Night Bitch was a female character.
Stars
that was pointed out to be female by the fact that there was a bitch in her name and that she had cleavage.
Did she do anything?
No.
Okay. Stars and Stripes?
He was cool. He was in the movie for maybe 20 minutes.
Okay.
He was the best part of the movie.
Okay.
He just didn't last very long, that's all.
Okay.
He was basically the replacement for,
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage.
Yeah, that was...
But nothing really replaces Nick Cage.
Well, they're apparently planning a third one, which...
Oh God, no.
It's sounding exactly planned the exact same way the last one made, which was like, oh yeah, we should make another one of these. And
yeah.
And then it just kind of happened, so I'm guessing we'll probably get a third one.
You know how the first movie had, like, jokes about what was going on in
yeah.
the film? Like, they would make jokes about, like, the violence or superheroes or something?
Yeah.
Well, this one, the jokes are about sex a lot of the time.
Okay.
In fact, all the time, when they're not about the motherfucker, they're about sex.
And is it, like, Mean Girls every now and then?
No. Yeah, actually, no, it is. Only it's, like, not even good. And for the very few occasions where the jokes are not about either sex or the motherfucker, they are about poo and vomit.
Oh.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
That's bad.
Yes.
Now I don't like the movie.
Yes.
Poo, I can deal with a lot of kind of jokes, but poo and vomit jokes, that's just kind of my, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Only Bridesmaid got away with that one joke.
Oh, man, I don't even like that movie.
I don't really love that movie. I kind of like it, but there's one joke in there about that's like a vomit scene that I kind of found funny.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's not talk about Kick-Ass 2.
I know, but I love that scene where they're all like, they just like all eat at a very bad restaurant, and then they go to try on their dresses, but they get some. Yeah,
it's not funny.
I love it.
I'm sorry, I mean I can see what people find funny, but personally,
okay. I don't know.
So what else happened?
I don't know. I like to talk a little bit about Vaughn, though, because...
Who?
Matthew Vaughn.
The director of...
Kick-Ass. And X-Men First Class.
What about him?
He's a good director, but...
Yeah, he's good.
He's, like, all his movies are entertaining the first time you watch them.
Yeah.
But then you watch them a second time.
Not true. I watched Kick-Ass 1 the other day. It was great.
I watched it again, and I was like, it's not...
I really like it. A lot.
I don't know. I think, like... Like, the movie's whole moral, the whole story with the lead character, like, the lead character is Kick-Ass. Mm. And his whole thing is about, pretty much it's about pointing out to not be a superhero.
Mm.
That's the point of the movie, and how violent you can get.
Mm.
But once you meet Big Daddy and Hit Girl, who are admittedly more entertaining than Kick-Ass.
Yeah, that's certainly a problem with the film.
And it's like entertaining, but it kind of feels empty. But, like X-Men First Class as well, I get the feeling, like, if I watch it again, it's going to have a similar thing.
I've not seen that more than once, actually. Saw it once when it came out.
Which, again, it's an entertaining movie, but I've been in a stage thing for the Kick-Ass before where you did an interview, and Vaughn pretty much makes movies where he doesn't really care about anything more than whether they're entertaining in the moment. That's all he cares about.
I don't think that's true.
No, it is. He said it. He said, that's all I care about with a movie.
Okay.
Like, that's why Kick-Ass gets forgotten, because Hit Girl and Big Daddy are way more entertaining.
I gotta say, I actually kind of like the romance story in Kick-Ass 1 with him and that girl. Kind of like it.
Yeah, I liked how it handled. Did she get...
I kind of don't like how it's handled in the second movie.
Is it still a thing?
It is, for the first 2 minutes of the movie.
And then they break up?
And then they break up because some things are said to Hit Girl that are taken out of context. And she's like, oh, I'm dumping you now. And,
what? Wait, he goes out with Hit Girl?
No. Okay, so what happens, right? Hit Girl goes to high school with him, right?
Yeah.
She's like 15. He's like last year of high school with, 18, I guess.
Yeah.
And, and so he's like, hey, Hit Girl, we gotta like go out and fight some crime together. And then she's like, no, it's over, I'm done, and all that kind of stuff, because she's like not fighting crime anymore, right?
Yeah.
And of course... To anyone that does, because of course they're speaking in like kind of Cody things, because they don't want to like just be like, oh yeah, I'm Hit Girl. Then like the girlfriend hears that and she thinks that they were breaking up, right? The Hit Girl and him were breaking up, and then she's like, I don't know what's worse, the fact that you're fucking a like little kid, or the fact that she just dumped you. And then he was like, no, it's not like that. And then she like walked away and she's never in the movie ever again. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
That
girl knows he's Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
He could just be like, look, this was, like, superhero business. It wasn't about this fucking little kid that I was not going out with. You know what I mean? And she's just never in the movie ever again.
I think the bigger annoyance is, why the hell is Hit Girl saying, my dad told me to protect the city? When was it ever about protecting the city? I thought it was all about a revenge thing against the guy who killed their, like...
Yeah, but then they did that, so she wasn't going to just put her skills to waste for the rest of her life.
Yeah, but, the dad never said, like, protect the city.
No, look, it's a bad movie, okay? Let's talk about another movie.
All right. Is he doing it? Like, what else is Vaughn doing, I wonder?
The Days of Future Past?
No, that's the guy with the first two X-Men.
Oh, okay. I guess he's not doing anything, then.
That'd be really...
So let's talk about another movie.
I don't know. What's the next movie you saw?
I don't know.
That was the Magician movie.
Oh, Now You See Me.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, you see that like, there's that one clip in a trailer, right? Where Jesse Eisenberg is in a jail. He's in, like, a little interrogation room in a jail cell, right?
Yeah.
In, like, a police office.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, handcuffs on. And then he's, like, saying some quippy remarks and stuff. And then the guy, like, grabs him because he's angry. Mark Ruffalo does. And then he's, like, phoom, and does, like, some magic thing. And then suddenly Mark Ruffalo's in handcuffs instead.
All right.
And he's, like, the best the first thing to do as a magician is to be the smartest guy in the room or some crap like that.
Okay.
And you're like, yeah, that's badass, that's fucking cool, right? Stuff like that. That's in the movie for, like, the first 20 minutes-ish.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of scenes like that, and you're like, damn, this is sick. And then the movie starts to introduce this mystery into, like, what's actually going on here? Why are they robbing these banks? Who's controlling all this?
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
There couldn't be a heist movie about magicians?
No.
Oh.
And it's fucking awful. And then as the movie kind of progresses, there's more and more hints of what's going on. And every time they give you a new hint, you're like, oh, please, please don't be what I think it's going to be. No, they're not going to do that. That's, like, fucking the dumbest thing ever. And then they do, A, they do what is the dumbest thing ever that they keep hinting at in the throughout the movie, right?
Yeah.
And B, there's another twist on top of that that is even worse, yeah, right? And you're like, holy fuck, this movie is awful. Absolutely horrendous. And it really sucks. And there's some really bad dialogue in it. Okay, so, like, this doesn't spoil anything. There's, like, this scene where the magician...
I'm gonna really go out and watch
the magician team, like, sees a thing that's, like, mysterious, right?
Yeah.
And they're all, like, standing in a room together, right? And, like, mysterious thing X happens that I'm not gonna talk about, right?
Yeah.
And then one of them's like, oh, what is this? And then another one's like, I don't know. And then the next one's like, but I really would like to know. You know, and that kind of, like, meaningless dialogue of, like, the audience is, like, watching a mysterious thing happen on the screen, and then the cast members are, like, making short sentences about the thing that explains that they're just as interested as you, the audience member, are.
Couldn't they have just had an idiot on their team follow it, and then they have to follow said character because they care about them?
What? No.
I don't know. Seems like make more sense.
It's just a movie that could have been really awesome that just wasn't actually good.
Well, I do like heist movies.
Yeah, me too. And I really, really like the idea of a heist movie with magicians in it. That's awesome. That's really, really cool. And the first act of the movie gives you exactly what you want from that. And then the second and third acts get really bad. There are some action scene moments where there's, like, car chases and explosions, and you're like, this is not what I came here for. And then there's this really, really awful, dumb mystery that just has the dumbest twist ever, and you're like, that movie was a waste of time.
See, Ocean's Eleven was smart. It only had one kind of meaningless plot line with emotions.
Yeah, but it didn't have magicians.
No, but it was still a fucking good heist movie.
But it didn't have
magicians. It was a full heist movie, not just a partial heist movie.
Yeah. Anyway, and then what else have I seen? I saw Your Next, which is pretty good.
Okay.
Apparently it's received high acclaim. I disagree with that. It's okay.
Well, looking at this summer, or this blockbuster...
It's not a fucking blockbuster movie. It's a festival movie that came out 2 years
ago. I'm just
talking
about this... Okay.
Just because it came out in a time that is kind of near the summer doesn't make it a summer
movie.
Well,
it's like genre movies that aren't... It's like the Howl movies are split.
It's not a summer movie. Stop calling things summer movies just because they came out around the time of summer in the other side of
the way... I'm just saying to differentiate the different parts of the seasons, right? You have these kind of...
Okay, but that's not what this movie is. This movie could have been released at any time of the year, and it would have had the same, like, audience.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a horror movie. People die. The deaths are good. I liked it.
And do I have to say it? Or?
The evil villain's motives, pretty dumb.
Yeah?
Really dumb. The twist at the end, dumber than that. Like, really cheesy horror movie stuff, right?
Twist.
But the very end of the film, like the last 30 seconds, fucking mad. Really cool.
Okay.
Really, really, really good. doesn't change the story at all or anything like that. The ending is not story-based in that regard.
Alright.
But the story still sucks. But it's a horror movie. What do you want?
Well, I don't think it really needs to matter. It's like this house is getting attacked by dudes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need...
But then you realize why the dudes are doing it.
Oh, well, that ruins it.
And then you're like, oh man, this sucks.
Can't a house just be attacked by a bunch of dudes?
Yeah, I reckon. That would have been really good.
See?
But anyway...
I mean, we've talked about this, but horror movies just need to be about just
but it
stuff
was,
happening.
There were some cool moments in it where people died in cool ways. There were some scary moments in it where scary things happened.
Wait, they die? Spoilers, man.
Oh, sorry. Well, I didn't say who died. I mean, it could be the bad guys that die.
I'd watch a movie where the bad guys just continuously die.
There's a main character who's really conveniently, amazingly good at killing people.
Oh, I love that.
And you know why?
Why?
Okay, here's their explanation, right? Okay, so the movie starts and everyone's just like happy family, whatever, right? And they're all having a bit of a like bickering at the dinner table about dumb stuff and all that kind of things that family members do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they start getting attacked by crazy killers, right? And then, main character is all like, don't worry, I got this. Starts, like, fucking saving everyone's fucking cut wounds and stuff. And starts, like, setting up traps all throughout the house. And starts, like, fucking killing all these guys and stuff. And then eventually she's like, oh, yeah. My dad was, like, really paranoid that all the resources in the world would run out. And so we lived in a survivalist camp for my entire childhood.
And now I'm right.
And now, conveniently... Like, first of all, survivalist camps, I don't think that's a thing that exists.
Okay? I think it's a thing. I give America one.
Oh, she's Australian. She's an Australian character, and she's from Australia, by the way. Do they exist here? Have you ever heard of a survivalist camp?
I give it to America, but Australia... Is it an Australian movie, or is it...
No, it's an American movie, but the actress of the main character is Australian, so they gave her an Australian character as well.
Oh, well, that's fine. I like that, actually.
And that's cool, but I just don't think survivalist camps are really a thing, that's all. And I also think it's a really lame way of having your main character just be good at killing.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure the reason why it works is because it's America, so they're like, it's Australia.
Yeah, it's true. Australia's crazy, right?
They're just not in, like, Australian, man. Yeah. That's how they survive.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was dumb. But it's a cool movie. I mean, if you're a fan of, like, really standard horror movies, it's pretty up there in terms of quality.
Oh, I know what she is. She's like the Red Skull Captain America. She's a fringe group of Australians who are just so hardcore, even Australians can't handle that shit.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, well, okay. Well, apparently it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's not great. It's good. If you're a fan of horror movies, you should watch it. If you're not, probably not.
Wow. I'm just excited for Thor.
No, it's coming out soon, hey?
Well, in November.
No, it's ages away. Pokemon's going to be out before then.
Ah.
But so, yeah. What else?
What else have we been doing? Well, I got my, finished up, we'll talk about that later. I've got my computer put together, which is nice. Played all the PC games.
Finally getting some PC gaming action on.
Played Rayman, don't get it. I like it, but I don't get it.
It's funny how you're, like, the hugest platforming fan, and you, like, don't like Rayman Origins.
Well, I don't hate it, but I just, like...
It's just not that good, hey?
Yeah.
It's a really pretty game that just isn't a very good game.
I, like, heard you say you didn't like it. I was like, oh, that's Dylan. He doesn't get platformers. That's okay. And I played it. I was like, no. This is pretty dull. This is cool, but it's not like...
Yeah.
It's not like shit's happening all on the screen.
No, it's pretty. And it just doesn't... It's just, like, the jumping and the attacking and like, it doesn't feel very good.
If you're going to be basic, be Meat Boy smooth.
Yeah, you got to keep that shit tight if you're going to be, like, mechanically boring.
Yeah.
And they just didn't.
Yeah. And, well, I don't know.
Yeah, but it certainly does look pretty, but that's not enough.
Maybe Rayman Legends makes it more of a pretty move thing.
As far as I can tell, it looks like the basic movements and the jumps and stuff are copy-pasted into from Origins, so I don't think it's going to really be any different.
Well, the music levels are good.
Yeah, that looks cool. Whatever. So what else have you played?
I played Dragon's Lair, which was a game that I wanted to play for a while, because Don Bluth, the guy that does it, has made a couple anime moves that are amazing, and another that are good, and then some that are shit. So I was interested to see if...
Well, this guy has had this really, really mixed track record, and he's making his first ever video game after having only made animated movies, so I'm really excited to play it.
Well, I was interested because it's an old arcade thing, so the controls are going to be very simple.
For anyone that doesn't know, it's basically like Asura's Wrath, where you're just watching a show, and occasionally you press buttons.
Yeah, so it's kind of a quick time event, the game, but it's not so annoying because that's the game. And it's all animated, like it's hand-drawn animated stuff,
like
kind of...
80s style, yeah.
Yeah, 80s Disney style.
Looks like Smurfs kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Don Bluth was like a Disney animator who spun off and wanted to be like the guy that beat Disney. He didn't win.
That didn't happen.
But he started off pretty good. He was getting there. And then he got to the Disney knockoff stage that makes you money but isn't...
Yeah.
You know.
So what else have you played?
What else? Played Lollipop Chainsaw.
No, I hate that game.
It's not a good game.
No.
I heard a lot of like people saying it was good, and I was like, well, maybe it's one of those hit and miss titles, and I guess I don't know. I don't like
it's one of those miss titles, I'd say.
Yeah. I don't like Dynasty Warriors either, but the guy that advised it really likes it, so I guess.
Oh, Jim Sterling?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I think he's
Dynasty Warriors sucks.
He really loves it, but he's okay that people don't like it. Like he's not like, you know, how you guys don't get it. He's just like, I can live my life with you guys not liking it.
Yeah.
And I respect that. He's like Movie Bob on The Escapist. He's better in when he talks about other things that aren't specifically entertainments.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
But yeah, Electric Potential was like a really clunky game. Like, really just not very fun. And really stale.
Yeah, it just doesn't flow nicely.
No, not at all.
You just stick too many points and... I don't know. I mean, maybe jump mechanics are amazing and all, but...
Why do you hate... Okay, so Henry has this thing in Lollipop Chainsaw where the character jumps a lot because there's no block. So you have to, like, jump to dodge things. And,
I like
and
rolling.
He really doesn't like it.
I like rolling in that scenario.
Why? What's the difference? It's the same thing.
Because I like to be on the ground and I like to focus on attacking. But either way...
You can focus on attacking while being in the air for, like, a split second as well. It makes no difference.
I don't know. It just doesn't look as pretty.
I think it looks cooler. You're in the air. You're doing flips and shit. It's way cooler.
I don't know. I think the only time I was having a whole lot of fun was when you do, like, you power your meter up and then you're just a god. And then
no, that's, like, not even fun because then you just, like, one-hit everything. You're like, oh, look at this boss that I just killed in three hits. Oh, I guess I'll just keep
playing. I don't know. It's just not fun to combo.
No, it's really not.
Either way.
Yeah, it's a bad... No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I really don't like that game. But yeah, what else?
What else?
Is that it?
Yeah.
And that was In Order of Pontification.
Dylan, did you do anything lately or play anything? That wasn't Dark Souls.
Dive Kick! Yeah, I played a lot of Dive Kick. I played about 10 hours of Dive Kick.
You fall in love with Tim Rogers?
I've known Tim Rogers for a while.
Okay.
I just haven't spoken to you about Tim Rogers.
Okay. Well, I agree with you about Tim Rogers.
Yeah, Tim Rogers is cool.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah. He's probably the best video game journalist in the world.
Well, he just does reviews which are specifically his opinion on how he perceives the game.
Yeah, specifically his opinion is always correct.
It's always correct, but he never, like... I don't see him going, like, this is... Like... He never says, like, because I enjoyed this thing, this is the rule. Like, even with Mario Galaxy, he says, like, guys, it's not the game changer of the world, all right?
Yeah.
You know, but he, you know, I respect
him. But yeah, what were we talking about before then? Oh, Dive Kick. Yeah, Dive Kick's really good. I was kind of worried it would be a bit shit with all the different characters. Like, originally it was just the two characters that were actually the same character, Dive and Kick.
Okay.
And that was it. And they put in a bunch of different characters. I think there's 13 characters.
Yeah.
And I was kind of worried it would kind of ruin the whole simplicity of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh yeah, by the way, there's also now punch and low kick and, you know, backstep or something. Well, actually, no, there is backstep. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like defeats the purpose of the game. But the characters are pretty good. I still think Dive and Kick are actually the two best characters.
Because of symbol.
Yeah, in terms of just, like, in terms of just diving and kicking, they are the two most efficient characters in the game.
Yeah, I'm guessing if you're in a tournament, you're probably going to use Dive or Kick.
Actually, no, you're probably going to use Dr. Scholl's or the Baz because they're fucking OP. But, you know.
Should be a rule in tournaments that you can only use Dive or Kick.
They probably will do something like that. Some of the characters are basically almost, like, Mr. N and Redacted are, like,
this is
pretty similar.
This is like Small World. The dwarf is not... The game is not balanced. The dwarf is shit. Just don't even try.
There's no dwarf.
No, what I'm saying is like...
Oh, no. The game is not balanced at all. No. Yeah. I mean, it kind of is. But, you know, I'd say it's balanced. It's just... I mean, it's also... The game's only been out for a few days now. Or a week or so.
I'm saying character selection.
No, I still... I think it is. I think it just requires... It takes a bit of time to be able to play. It's a game where...
Because, is he like the Indian guy in Street Fighter where it's like really easy to use, but it turns out that actually when you get good at it, they're shit?
Yeah, kind of. Maybe. It's just kind of like, because the game is so simple, you can very easily kind of define a character's playstyle because they generally only have like two moves, right?
Yeah.
And so because of that, you have to focus really well on understanding how each character plays when you fight them. And you really have to change up the way you play depending on which character you're fighting.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because the game isn't old yet. It hasn't been, like, worked out yet.
Yeah.
That people, especially, or me, specifically, because I'm talking about my own experience here, I can't do that very well yet. So there are some characters that I don't really know how to approach them yet, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them OP.
Yeah.
Like, Dr. Scholl's can, like, change her angles of her kicks.
Who is she? Is she the girl with the hat?
No, she's the scientist girl that's based off Doctor Doom. But yeah, anyway, it's a great game, and it's probably going to have a pretty big effect on fighting games, I'd say.
Well, I hope they don't make it so that every game is like that.
No, of course they won't. I don't think there'll be any other game that's like that, but I think maybe people will take just some kind of influence from it, some in terms of simplicity.
Let's focus on weird combos and more on a...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just making games really purely skill-based and not like, oh, I've got to remember how to press these 400 buttons in like perfect that's consecutive great. Order.
So it was like about Smash Bros. It's just you jump into the game and then there's no million combos to learn. There are like
That's so untrue, man.
There are little
Smash Bros. Is way complicated.
There are little things to learn to master, but you don't need to go to a menu to learn.
Okay, but...
It's experience.
Anyone that's played Smash Bros. For like 10 hours can rape the shit out of someone that's played the game for like 1 hour.
I will give you that it requires skill, but it's purely skill. It's not about going to
a menu. No, but there's a certain level of like understanding the game that has to be had before you can really even be reasonable at it.
I will give you that.
That's not the case with Dive Kick. You have to learn how to jump and how to kick, and then you're good.
All right, but still, what I'm saying is that's what I like about it is there aren't those menus, which I don't like. I'm fine with learning to master something, but
menus.
Like you turn on Street Fighter, and then
you mean like the move list?
Yeah, I hate move list.
No, man, move list is good.
I fucking hate move list.
Ultimate Marvel's Capcom is still the best fighting game ever made. It's really not, but it really is at the same time.
I will admit, Marvel's Capcom 3 is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's like the game is so broken that it's balanced. You know what I mean?
And it's like even when
someone will like do something in the game, and people will be like, "Holy fuck, this game is the most unfair game ever made." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that person will be like, "Sweet, I just found like the new thing I'm going to do for a while, right?" And so then that person like does that one thing. So it'll be like, I don't know, what's like a really obvious example? Like Dark Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you get Phoenix up to level 5 and let her die, and then she just goes into like super ultra mega Saiyan mode where she just like insta kills everything, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Oh, cool, I'll do that because it's really 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 fucking easy," right?
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, "Oh man, this game's broken." And so then everyone like works really really hard to like work out how to fucking kill Dark Phoenix, right? And so then everyone tries so hard until they've mastered how to kill Dark Phoenix, and then Dark Phoenix sucks because everyone knows how to deal with her, right? And so it's like, oh no, the game's not broken. They didn't patch the game to make her less good, right?
Yeah.
They just let the players fucking work it out, right? And so then the game isn't broken anymore. Then someone finds out some other ridiculously broken, just completely bullshit thing in the game, right? And then everyone just works really hard to try and solve that. That's fucking great. I love that.
I had that moment with Wolverine, but...
Yeah, Wolverine's, like, broken as hell. He's, like, way too fast and way too strong. It's just bullshit. But people just, like, work it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how you should balance your games. You just make the most broken game possible and just let the players balance it for you. That's how it should be.
Yeah, but I prefer Smash Bros.
No.
Just get in. No million combos.
No.
Just because you don't enjoy it.
Just because I don't enjoy it. That's exactly
you're
right.
You're the only one on an island because everyone else does.
I'm the only one on an island? Why am I on an island? Why can't I be, like, in a house that no one else is in?
Because an island emphasizes lonesome.
Well, why can't I be in a house with no doors?
I don't know, with a DS.
With a 3DS? I can play Smash Bros. On that and learn and practice and then be good at it and then like it and then be like you.
Okay, okay.
No, I hate Smash Bros. I don't hate Smash Bros. I just don't get it. Anyway, what else have we done?
I still don't get that. What else have I done?
Oh, yeah. At the same time that you've finally gotten your PC worked out... I have found myself in a living condition where I am,
playing PS3?
Where I am pretty much home alone, like, all the time. When I'm not at, like, uni or work or something.
Hmm.
And so, I basically have, like, 100% free access to the lounge room without any interruptions ever. Which is great. So I figured, I'm gonna start playing PS3 again. So I bought Vanquish, and I bought Dragon's Dogma, as well as the expansion pack, and I bought Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and I bought a PlayStation Plus account for 15 months, and I'm ready to go.
You got all in.
It was pretty impulse buy. It was kind of like, I was with Vincent. We were, like, going to see a movie or something.
Yeah.
And then I was just, like, talking to him about it, right? And then I was like, wait a minute. I can play PS3 games. I have a PS3 in my lounge room that I haven't used for 3 years. I could use it again. And then we literally just went to the first game shop we could find and I just bought all the games I wanted, which was only three games, but still.
Which was it?
I don't know, just like some games. JB Hi-Fi somewhere. Yeah, okay. But anyway, then I went home, then I paid $70 for a PlayStation Plus account. And yeah, it was good times. But yeah, it was cool.
So, have you played any?
No.
Oh, okay.
My new living condition will be applicable as of Thursday, and today is Monday.
Oh. And then you move, and then you move away.
Yep.
How far away?
Not that far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stay in the Sydney area.
Yeah, of course I will. I'm not going to fucking move anywhere else. Where else would I live?
I don't know.
Well, Tokyo, but that's later.
Oh, and we played Donkey Kong 64, which was fun.
Oh, yeah, we played Donkey Kong 64 today. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, but, you know, history. Yeah. It was great back in the day.
Yeah, apparently.
When there were all these different advancements that hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, so I guess the game that Dylan really wants to talk about, and I do too, is Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
So, I can say ostensibly last time I really didn't get Dark Souls.
Ostensibly?
Well, mostly.
Ostensibly means, like, apparently.
No, I won't go with it. I didn't get it. I was thinking about that. I was like, should I go with that? No, sure, I won't. I didn't get it, but yeah, now I do. Like, I kind of got it before, but now I get Dark Souls.
Well, now you finished Dark Souls.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
Many times of just me hitting walls and just hitting my head against the wall, being like, I'm just done. I'm done. No more. And then I just beat it.
Now you beat it.
Weird.
How's it feel to beat that game?
Oh, that game. It feels pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel...
Now you got to do it 7 more times and then you're up to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I might not.
I
think I'll be okay just being better than Aiden from now on.
Well, I'll get Aiden to play Dark Souls. And, I'll get him to play it 25 times.
Just make it all at ego. Like,
and he'll do perfect runs every time. Kill every enemy in the game.
Make it a dick comparing contest and he'll do it.
Yeah.
And then he'll give up after 5 minutes.
No. He'll fucking strive. He won't finish it because it's like too hard for him, but he'll try it. But anyway...
you want to interview me or whatever? Because you played.
What do I say? We've had so many conversations about Dark Souls over the course of like your playing of it.
Yeah.
That I don't really know what to ask you anymore. I think we've had just about as many conversations as we possibly could.
I guess we'll just get to the gist of what we talked about. So I
can't even remember.
I don't know, but you know. So Dark Souls, my favorite thing about playing Dark Souls is how much I'm reminded of Ocarina of Time after a while, as I just start to have this weird flashback to playing Ocarina of Time, and just these different moments, except how Dark Souls does it better.
Yeah, Dark Souls is just Zelda if Zelda were made in 2013 and were actually good.
You
actually put it really nicely one time, when you were just like... Ocarina of Time came out, like, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it took them this long to finally make the next level up from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty well put. It pretty much is that. It's like, yeah. they were like, they looked at Ocarina of Time and they were like, this is a good idea, we're gonna make it a better idea by just improving it.
Yeah.
And... why did it take so long for that to happen?
I don't know. Everyone, it's like I said, everyone was wanking over open worlds that they just were like, oh, that's exactly...
true. I think there's like...
That's exactly why Legend of Zelda was a great game, was because of open world, even though the field is tiny.
Yeah.
It's a tiny field. And to a certain degree has the same interconnectedness of Dark Souls. But, you know, it's like...
Yeah, that's another thing Dark Souls has, is it's Castlevania,
yeah.
Style game world.
But like,
I mean, what's it called? Metroidvania.
But those old world games weren't connected because they were an open world. They were connected because they just happened to have small little paths that you find every now and then that make the game bigger. But every area still felt ostensibly its own thing. And I don't know, maybe Oblivion's different, but I played like Skyrim and it's just this massive field and it's fun, but... I don't know, I haven't played an RPG that's given me that Zelda game until I played Dark Souls.
Well, yeah, but you just tried to compare Elder Scrolls to Dark Souls and Zelda.
I was just...
And those are completely different games.
I was saying how I think a lot of RPGs go about making RPGs, and Elder Scrolls is just a popular RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Thereby, I don't know. Dragon Age.
Dragon Age is a kind of...
I haven't played Dragon Age, so I don't know.
It's not like any of the ones mentioned so far. And
okay.
Personally, I think it's less good. Dragon Age feels a lot like you're playing a game. But it's almost... You almost feel like you're playing... It's like an MMO mixed with, like, an RTS, kind of.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't like it.
I remember you playing it, and I thought you liked it, but...
I it's good, but it's just, like, I don't know. It didn't capture me at all. I played it for, like, 10 hours, and then I just never touched it again, and I had no desire to, either.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I have a couple games where I'm just like, I should play this just because I have it.
No, fuck
but
that.
I don't.
If you don't want to play it, just never fucking play it.
But oh well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I quite enjoyed my experience. I have my nitpicks, but I'm not really going to go into them.
Go into them, come on.
What? No. Because every time I get into a nitpick, you have like a million justifications why it exists, and it doesn't mean... It means that, yes, indeed... That's there, but I'm still irritated by
it.
Like,
I'm not going to... I won't do that on the podcast.
All right.
I'll have an argument about tiny shit with you for 3 hours when we're not on the podcast.
All right. Fine. Okay, so I've said my problem with the fact that I think... I mean, maybe my position is unique, but I got stuck with the curse, and I just got really bored with that. And it's, you know, there's a whole list of reasons, but I still think it exists, and it annoyed me, because I got to experience it.
Okay, well, I'll make my short, remark about that. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so basically you got cursed and you didn't know how to fix it. That's your problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll say to you, the game specifically designs it so that you will come across a solution to your curse problem, right after getting cursed.
Yeah.
I know what happened with you, and we're not going to say it on the podcast because it kind of spoils it for someone that doesn't...
Let's just say I get what you're saying.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying this to the audience, right? And also, you need to look at the curse as basically a boss fight that isn't a boss fight. You become so weakened by the curse that basically until your curse is lifted, the entire game is a boss fight. And that's kind of how I like to look at it, and I think that's pretty awesome, personally.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's about it. But the solution to the boss fight isn't to kill the boss, it's to solve your problem of getting rid of the curse.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I got to say about that. I think you've got a fairly reasonable point in that regard, that it's certainly possible for someone to completely miss the solution of the curse, and then they're just kind of, like, stuck with it forever, unless they go and look at a wiki or something.
Mm.
I think that's fairly...
I mean, my game wasn't ruined. I wasn't like, I'm not going to finish Dark Souls. I was just like, I'm not bothered trying to find the thing. So I just was like, oh yeah, it was a guy at the start of the game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
bother. Hey, spoilers, don't say that.
The one curse in the game filled with curses?
Well, no, but the solution to the curse is the same. Doesn't matter where you get it
from.
Oh,
okay. Well, don't worry.
But yeah,
yeah.
What else did you have... that you didn't like about it? It's more interesting to talk about things you didn't like than what you did like. Because there are like a billion fucking articles and podcasts online about what's so good about Dark Souls.
It's a really good game. You should play it just to play it.
It is, personally, the best game of the generation.
I think of the previous... I don't know. I think Journey's the new age, but that's just me.
Well, Journey's the best... It's certainly one of the best games. I'd probably put it in the... Maybe even second place.
What I would say is that... Dark Souls is a game you should play because what it does, even if you don't enjoy it, you will gain so much more mechanically than so many other games.
Yes.
You will learn a lot of things about how good game design works, because there is certainly a theory in learning about game design from bad games, certainly, but you need a good game to compare it to.
If you're going to compare it to Journey, which I don't think is really appropriate in any way...
No, I was saying of the best game of the generation. I would say
Journey is a... basically invents a new style of game. I kind of... Games without, like, hard mechanics are not really a common thing yet.
Yeah.
And Journey is probably the best example of how to do that right so far. Whereas... Dark Souls doesn't take any new mechanics at all. All its mechanics have existed in other games, but it just it's like showing you how to make them like the next level of that mechanic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we've kind of almost been kind of like stagnating for a while, just kind of like not getting anywhere in a lot of mechanics, and just kind of like accepted them to be what they are. And Dark Souls kind of questions that and is like, no, every mechanic can be improved upon, and this is how you do that. Type thing.
Okay. But I mean, when I second this, I'm just saying, for me personally,
it's the best of a generation.
Journey for me, but for you, Dark Souls. I mean, I still
think Journey is probably its second best.
We're like comparing the apples and oranges of perfection here, yeah. So.
So what else did you not like about it? That's more interesting.
What else? Oh, this is a big one.
Mm.
We cannot agree on this one.
Okay,
so audience, just, we are going to try to...
If this is about the ending?
This is about the ending.
Let's not talk about that because it's a spoiler.
Okay. The point is that there is an ending I like. Okay, the point is, I have my issues with the ending and Dylan doesn't. So, we'll leave it at that.
Well, I personally think your argument for why you don't like the ending is completely invalid. But, you know, let's not talk about that because you kind of need to explain it too.
Yeah.
To kind of get the argument. So let's just, like, walk past that one. What else do we have?
I don't know. I mean, most of it is just kind of like, I think the interesting thing about Dark Souls is it's very niche. It's a very niche kind of game.
Yeah.
Like, you are a kind of person that is going to enjoy this. And I appreciate that about the game, actually. So many games today are trying to appeal to wide audiences.
I think it's not so much niche as it is, like, the true hardcore game. When people say hardcore games, they never mean what that word would actually mean. You know what I mean?
They just want a little challenge.
When they say hardcore games, they mean like Battlefield 3 is a hardcore
game.
You know what I mean?
Here's how I say it, alright?
What?
It's like when people say they want chili, hot chili, when really they just want sweet chili.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Only Dark Souls is the real hot chili.
Dark Souls is the chili you get from the Indian chef guy from behind back, who's kind of like, just like, no, I want the hot stuff.
Yeah.
And he gives it to you.
I think a good way to look at Dark Souls is to, it's like an intellectual novel, only where there's an entry level that you kind of have to kind of, like, understand literature, right?
To
be able to read like a really deep novel, right? Or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
You have to be able to accept and understand the complex literature that you're about to read, right?
Yeah.
And Dark Souls is like the video game equivalent of that, where its mechanics are challenging and they force you to be patient and to learn, right?
Yeah.
And it's effectively like, if you were to translate that same idea into video game mechanics, it would be kind of like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you know.
That sounds really pretentious because it's basically, I'm just saying, like, Dark Souls is like a hard...
Oh, no, I'll do an easy one because movies have made this so easy to do.
Okay.
It's like how Indiana Jones is a better movie than most summer movies. Not because it's, you know, somehow has some kind of high arty quality to it, although it kind of does, but not really.
Not really.
But it's more just how it works so well mechanically, and that's what I enjoy about Dark Souls. The lore is great.
I wouldn't say Dark Souls is like a Hollywood movie.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that how modern movies have sort of degraded over time, and Dark Souls...
That's a bit of a broad statement, but okay.
Okay, summer movies specifically.
Yeah.
Okay, there's never been a moment where games have stopped being good. It's just the games that are good versus the games that are bad has become more the popular games versus the indie games.
Yeah.
Which have been good. So with movies, it's kind of the same. The indie movies don't stop being good. You know, it's just whoever's being artistic at the time. Whereas summer movies have sort of... Some of them, like, it's sort of like very hit. It's like very miss and then sometimes hit.
Yeah.
You know, so... And, like, video games used to be Dark Souls difficulty. They used to be that kind of difficulty.
Yeah, but they weren't, like, fair at all.
They were not
designed to be unfair because you got to put those quarters in those machines, yo.
But then as time went on and became home consoles, everyone's like, no, we don't need to make it on foot. We can make them explore the whole world.
We can make the games really easy, yeah.
But then everyone forgot the, like, kind of art that was created there. And that, you know, that's what's nice about Dark Souls. And, like, Dark Souls has great lore and all that jazz, but If I was to say why you should play Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah, it's certainly not for the lore. I mean, the lore's really cool. The lore's the thing that once you finish the game, you go up and read about all the lore.
Oh, it's how cool it is. So cool.
But you don't need to really
know by the way,
much about it when you're playing.
When you're making DLC, they know how to use their lore to make good DLC.
I wish you got further into the DLC.
I still like it. I still like it.
You didn't even get to the good part.
No, but I still...
You basically played the prologue to the DLC. And the boss fight that you got up to is, like, the beginning of the DLC, basically.
Okay. I'll play it again at some point.
You fucking better play that shit again. You gotta get to those... There is numerous areas that you never even found in the game.
Well, I want to fight that dragon. I don't beat the dragon, but fight the dragon.
Oh, yeah, the DLC dragon?
Yeah.
There's some other dragon-type things that you've also missed throughout the game.
Ah, oh, because it's in the past, so it's, like, more dragons stuff.
Yeah.
There's, like, I think my favorite boss... One of my favorite boss encounters is not because it's, like, better than the others. I mean, it's kind of cool. It's this... But I see it in all the videos for, like, when people talk about Dark Souls and how crazy it is.
Oh, just the gaping dragon?
Yeah, they just pull this video out.
Yeah.
And the gaping dragon itself, like, lore-wise, is actually really cool when you think about it.
It's just, like, a dragon that was, like...
Got corrupted
by, like, garbage and shit.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Not even cool corruption, like the other guy. No, just shit.
Yeah, the gaping dragon's pretty cool-looking dude.
Yeah. It's not a fun fight, but it's... Well,
I like it.
It's,
I like it,
but
it's really easy. I like it, though.
I beat him with, like, one of the most boring ways to kill thing, but...
Yeah. Archery.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of... A lot of the projectiles in the game kind of break the game a little bit, I think. Like, archery is very exploitable a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of intentional, though. I think that's kind of like... If you're, like, willing enough to use this kind of weak weapon, you get the advantage of being able to do some things other players aren't really allowed to do.
Yeah, and it does take a while for the thing to get, like, really useful.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But there are some bots, like, I remember one time I was, like, in an area, I won't say much about it. But it just, this was the moment that educated me on how to be scared, pretty much, in Dark Souls. I was, like, walking, and it was dark, and I was still starting the game, so, like, certain rules hadn't clicked yet.
Yeah.
So, I was just sort of walking, and I hear a breathing. And then things start to click in my head, and there's this clockwork. And I hear the breathing. I hear the... And it's that level of noise where you're like, that's not small. And then I look in front of me, and I see a shadow. And I'm like, that's not small. And then I hear a breathing, and I'm like, fuck.
Man, what is this? I don't know.
And I try to back away. And then it just starts getting up. And it starts moving. And because it's still dark, you can kind of see details. And it starts attacking you. And then I'm just like, shit. And I just start slashing and die in 5 seconds.
What was it?
Valley of the Drakes. First. That thing. I don't know what it was, but it was fucking big.
And the zombie dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just...
The zombie dragon's pretty cool.
He scared the fuck out of me.
He's a zombie and a dragon.
I just killed him with archery a second later, though.
Fucking cheater. Actually, he's really easy to kill anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Archery is not cheating. It's in the game.
Yeah, no, but it's kind of cheating. It's like allowed cheating.
I don't feel like I've lost out. I feel like I understand it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you say to me, like you know, cheating or whatever, I'm just like... Whenever in those situations come up in Dark Souls, I'm just like, I have a life to live.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with studying it, but I'm just like, for my life personally, I don't have the time. I don't want to get so good at Dark Souls that every other game just... I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, you kind of do. Trust me, it's good.
I don't want to.
Do it.
I don't want to.
Do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Don't worry. If you play the game 8 times, then you get bored of it. Personal experience has told me this.
Alright. But either way, it's you know, just a fun, well-rounded game, really. It's a
fucking fantastic game.
It is.
Fucking immaculate. It's fucking the best game.
I just love when they get monster design right in that game. Like these weird...
Which they do all the time.
It's like Blighttown has these weird spider monster things that just like have
big... I wouldn't call them spiders.
They have like... Look, the
they're
main...
Like,
the boss
like,
is a spider. It's all about insects.
Yeah, they're not... They're not spiders. They're like just... You can't describe them by comparing them to real life animals because they are unlike all of them.
Okay, but it is the most weird design I've seen.
Yeah, they're fucking cool. I like them.
They have like a big googly eye, and it's just kind of like this weird smile that's like from Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, like Breathe Fire.
Yeah, and I'm just like.
And you know, like, if you touch them, they would feel so gross.
And they have tiny wings.
And they have tiny little insect wings. Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Damn, those guys are cool.
Those guys freak me out. That was like Blighttown perfect introduction.
Man, Blighttown's a cool place.
Blighttown you hate, and then you like. Yes. After a couple seconds. It's like, I honestly find that the most interesting part of this world, because it's so disgusting, and you're just like, how is this place so disgusting? Like, who fucked up?
Well, it is, like, it does, like, come out of a sewer.
Yeah.
It's kind of just, like, a big swamp full of poo, really.
Oh, I know, and it's Dark Souls, so whenever there's pollution.
Yeah.
But still,
pollution equals poison. Some of that poison damage.
But I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe they should have had more tunnels leading out of this cave and into, like, the ocean or some shit.
There's no ocean in Dark Souls. Did you see an ocean?
I did, and then I realized it's a river.
Yeah, there's no ocean.
You can't really... You realize it's actually not as big as you thought it was.
No, it's a really small game world. It's just really, really well designed.
It just feels big.
Yes. And also because you spend a long time making it through any particular area because of how often you just die.
Okay. But my moment of pride in Dark Souls is twofold.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the beginning. As I think everyone's moment of pride is if they get past the game. Because I think in Dark Souls, your hardest part is always going to be at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you kind of like understand it, it gets a lot easier.
I had a couple headaches towards the end, but nothing like getting past the initial hump.
Yeah, definitely. That's the entry level I'm talking about.
Yeah, because you don't know if you can beat the game. That's what you have to learn.
Yeah.
And Dark Souls is...
I wonder if we had played the game in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
If we hadn't have known that there were other people in the planet that have beaten Dark Souls... Would we think it's possible to beat it?
No, I wouldn't.
Would we try?
I would have had that moment of, Azza! And then given up.
Yeah.
I would have just been like, fuck this game. This game's way too hard, okay? I have a life to live.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's only because of the assurance that other people have done it. That's the only reason you can persevere through the game.
That's like, I feel like the character in the game where I'm faced with a cave and a huffing and puffing dragon, and I'm just like, well, one guy got through this. I don't know, but I think my two moments of triumph were I started the game and I saw this, there's like this dragon drake thing at the beginning that has, it's just, for some reason, Dark Souls makes the most classic of monster confrontations the most scary thing in the world.
Mm.
Like how? It's usually some weird monster, but no, it's dragons. Dragons are the scariest thing in the world.
Mm.
Or drakes, I don't know, fucking.
Drakes. Well, dragons are way more scary, but you don't see them because they don't exist.
Yeah. I'd like it for there to be one dragon in the game.
There's a number of dragons in the game, but they're kind of special.
I fought... The only dragon I fought was,
Seath the Scaleless?
Yeah.
The dragon?
It was boring.
There's another dragon in a secret area you haven't found. There's another dragon in a not really secret, but kind of secret area you also haven't found. There's a half dragon in that area. There's not a full dragon. There's, The DLC has a dragon.
Well, it does. It's the one on the back of the box.
What else is there? This is the Gaping Dragon. That's technically a dragon.
True.
There's a few dragons in the game.
But dragons, like, there's so much animation to them, and they do so many... Even if it's simple, there's just something about how they move that's so...
Yeah, they look good.
Alive.
Look better than Skyrim.
But yeah, there's this red drake at the start. It's like at a bridge. It's, like, barely in the game.
It's funny how you say it's, like, barely in the game, but it's, like, 10 hours into the game.
10 hours is barely into the game, okay?
But yeah, that's true.
Talking about my moment of triumph, if you don't want to be spoiled, you know, go buy the game. It's a good game.
Yeah, what are you doing not playing Dark Souls?
But I, like, saw this drake, and I just, I'd seen you guys play it, like, you and Vincent play it, and you guys, like, just decided to run around, take the path and not fight the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of went, fuck this dragon. And then I just kept, I spent, like, I don't know, an evening... beating, just getting past the dragon. I tried to fight it, but I was like, yeah. So I just ran past the dragon.
Yeah, you can run past it. Yeah.
And I got this spot, and I was like, yes.
You can fight it, but it's like the most unfair fight in the game.
It's so unfair.
It's just like, oh, if I happen to breathe fire, which is something I do approximately 90% of the time, you die immediately. So good luck. It's pretty fucking rude.
It's fucking rude.
Yeah.
But either way, I got past that, and then I fought the boar, and I beat the boar, which I was happy about. And then just these series of victories happened, where I just beat the guy, pretty much all the way up to the, like, gargoyles. I was like, wow, I'm getting this game, I'm getting with it. And then I fought the gargoyles.
Oh, man, the gargoyles are some fucking hard guys, hey?
They're rude.
That was the hardest part of the game for me.
That was your hump?
Yeah. That was, I almost quit the game when I got up to the gargoyles. I was like, I can't do this.
Well, I heard about your thing, so I think that's why it wasn't as much of a hump for me.
Maybe.
I just leveled up a bit.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do that.
I did.
I eventually just summoned Solaire, and he kind of did most of the work for me.
I can hold that on you, Dylan.
Hey, I mean, if I play the game now, I can kill them no problem, you know what I mean? But back then,
well,
I was but a young child.
But a young squire. So, you know, I obviously beat the gargoyles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got past that, and I moved on, and I fought this other boss that I've come to hate and love at the same time. It's like my hate-love relationship with this one boss that's like a... I don't want to say too much. It's like a scorpion thing with lightning powers.
Oh, that's not a boss. There's like plenty of those in the game.
Yeah, but it's like...
It's a mini-boss for sure, but
yeah, it's
there's like, I don't know, maybe...
I know, but initially I thought it was a special thing that would just pop up once because of how they set him up.
Yeah.
And then it kept coming back in the game, and I was like, no!
It's like it's the same guy. It's a different...
No, I know it's a different guy,
one,
but come on. They're the same moves, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, don't keep coming back, monster.
Yeah, those guys are pretty rude.
And every time I see that guy, my heart goes...
Yeah, those guys are probably the scariest design in the game, I'd say.
They're just...
They look really unsettling.
They look like Pyramid Head in some
ways. Yeah, if anyone wants to look these things up, they're called Titanite Demons. T-I-T-A-N-I-T-E.
Oh, yeah, they're made of the material that makes the weapons in the game.
Yeah, they're literally just big living slabs of, like, iron, basically. Pretty fucking cool.
Fucking cool and scary.
Yeah.
And they're cool ones to turn up. But then I got through, like, this forest area, and I think my wall was I then found Black Knight, who are cool reoccurring villains, even though they kind of don't get as cool as you find other better monsters.
Like, oh, yeah, they're pretty weak once you just, like, just realize how easy it is to kill them, you can just, like, kill them without getting
hit. I love parrying those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I love parrying them. Parrying my friend, if you get good at parrying, it feels so good to beat mega high monsters.
Yeah.
Anyway, I beat the Black Knight, and then I fought this guy. There's this guy at the bottom of these stairs who's got like a big slab of a weapon.
Yep, I know the one.
And beating him was just this moment of like, I can do this game. And I was kind of giving up on the Hydra, and then I was like, no, I'm going to beat the Hydra.
I actually did give up on the Hydra because I just had no idea what to do. I was like, how do I even touch this thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I like was like, almost at the end of the game, and I was like, you know, I never went and killed that Hydra. I'm going to go back and do it. And then I did it on my first attempt, and I was like, oh, I could have just done that before.
Well, it kind of like took so many tries to see that he was doing certain things, you know, just repetition.
I don't want to spoil it, but like, you know how it does, you know how you attack it, right?
Yeah.
I never actually got into the position where it would do that thing.
Yeah.
So I just thought it constantly just, like, shot at you the whole time.
That's a trick with Dark Souls.
And I was like, how do I even touch it? I mean, it's not even close to me. And so
I just figured with Dark Souls, the rule of thumb is that if you're not beating a monster, just have a round where you move around the arena.
Yeah.
And just, like, let the monster do whatever.
Yeah, just analyze it a little bit.
I won't say more than this, but the tree was kind of disappointing. I kept expecting it to be something more than just...
The tree?
It's like the... Fire. I'm trying to be using as vague words as possible.
You mean the puzzle boss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of
like that there is a puzzle boss, but it is pretty lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept like expecting like, oh wait, I'm just blinking it, and then I'll actually get to the fighting it now.
And then
I don't play Dark Souls for puzzle bosses.
No.
I play Legend of Zelda for puzzle bosses.
Yeah.
So either way, and that was cool. But you know, I think an interesting thing is two other interesting things before we close up.
Mm-hmm.
Is first thing is that I love how the thing that you learn from Dark Souls, and I learned at least, is that there are certain reactions that we have in games that, you know, we don't really think about, like parrying. I've never really thought about parrying in a video game before. And in Dark Souls, I thought about how, I'm not going to say how you're doing because you have to learn, but there's just this moment where your heart is like, just beats. And I never thought, like, specifically how my body was reacting to a game.
Mm.
But the second thing is in the final battle, the only time I beat him, even with so much help from you, was when I just went dead.
Yeah, and I was at his house while he was fighting the boss, and you just like there was like one point where I was just like saying words to you and you just weren't responding, and I was like, all right, be a dickhead. And then you just like in like ultra super focused mode, and like the entire rest of the world like didn't even exist to you, and then you beat the boss.
Yeah, and I felt like in a moment I learned Dark Souls.
Yeah,
like I communicated with Dark Souls, and I was like, get this.
Yeah.
And I kept noticing, like, if I exit this mode, I'm gonna lose this battle.
Yeah.
And I kept, like, my mind kept saying random words in my head. It was like this random comedy hour. And I was just sitting there, like, don't react. Don't focus.
Yeah.
Focus.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I move a muscle, everything's gonna break.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna exit this mode, and then I'm gonna fail.
Yeah.
And I've had this mode before. Because I think everyone who plays video games longer than has this mode.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is why I love Kingdom Hearts, because it was the first time I experienced this, right? Where I beat a boss, and I just, it just happened.
Mm.
It wasn't like I was like, oh, you know, I'm just like, I beat it because it was easy. I just entered a mode where stuff happened, and I didn't even know what. And a couple games do that, but most of the time it's like Skyrim, where it's like, hack, 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 dead.
Yeah.
You know? And this was just a mode where I was like, dead.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. It was pretty cool to watch you do that.
That is Dark Souls' lesson. So spoilers.
Yeah.
But yeah. So and you saw the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say go play Dark Souls, and I finally get it, and I'm happy to not play Dark Souls for a while.
No, play it again. The first thing I did when I finished the game was start the game again.
Nah, man. I like a week ago hit my point where I was like, I can't keep playing Dark Souls. I need to play a different game. I've played this game so long. Oh, even though I admit it's still like really good and all that jazz.
No, play it again. Second playthrough is like so much more enjoyable. I don't know. So much less stressful the second time around. You just breeze through everything like it's nothing. You feel like such a god. And then you start, like, just playing it to, like, just learn things about the world or just, like, memorize where everything is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you play it for just, like, no reason other than you're bored and you're like, I guess I'll just play through Dark Souls today. And then you do it in, like, a few hours and you're like, oh, I just played through Dark Souls.
This Dylan's experience.
Yeah, I've done this so many times.
I don't know. I rarely replay long games.
It's not a long game the second time around, though.
Probably isn't. I got through quite a bit when I got to like into the temple area, the dungeon of the skull area, and it took me ages to get there.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, like with me, the first time round took me like 85-ish hours.
Yeah.
Second time round took me like 10, 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was doing way better as well.
I don't know. Unless it's like Journey, which is really short, I rarely feel like I...
Yeah, me too. I completely agree. I'd never replay a game. What the fuck is that? Why would you do that? A waste of time. Dark Souls, though? I'd replay that game 8 times.
I have my list of games. I'm like, you know, some nostalgia, some just I have really fun with that game.
Mm.
I don't know why, but Hit and Run, just every couple of years, I just...
Simpsons and Run?
I don't know why.
What the fuck?
I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't get it, but... It just, it's this automatic function of me just doing things in Hit and Run. And I'm just like, I don't know why this is satisfying to do.
Hit and Run is not that good.
I don't know.
It was pretty cool when we were like, I don't know, when did that game come out? Like 2002?
I don't get it. Because I figured the Simpsons, like I figured the Simpsons game would like easily succeed it. But
oh, the one that came out for PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah. And it's a fun game.
I've never played that.
It's all right. But, like, Hit and Run basically is Grand Theft Auto, and again, the guy who doesn't care for Grand Theft Auto somehow likes every single knockoff and clone.
It's really weird.
I don't know why that is. I consider Red Dead Redemption pretty much a main Grand Theft Auto game based on how good it is.
Red Dead Redemption is the one that even people that hate Grand Theft Auto like.
I just need to spend more time with it. I don't know. Every time I borrow
it... You should get it if Grand Theft Auto 5, whenever that becomes cheap. If it ever comes out on PC... Which it will eventually, I would assume.
Yeah.
And it gets like a 75% off sale on Steam. Should buy it. Just play it.
Which Grand Theft Auto is that?
It's the new one. The one that's not out yet.
Okay.
Because I'm sure it'll be good. Grand Theft Auto 4 is generally considered the worst one of all.
Well, it seems like the least... It seems like the most dour of them.
Yeah, it's just kind of... You know that whole thing of, like, ludonarrative dissonance when you're meant to really give a shit about a character and then they fucking murder everybody?
Yeah.
The reason Bioshock is a bad game, in my eyes?
Yeah.
GTA 4 does that a lot more than pretty much every other game ever made. So, yeah.
Yeah, I tried. I spent the opening and I was like, this is really boring.
Yeah, I just in terms of the gameplay, like the build-up of gameplay and of power in that game, I think is absolutely phenomenal. I think the story is generally not that good, but it's still better than the vast majority of games.
I hate games that, like, I don't know, I hate games that start off with constrainedness.
I love that.
Some of them do them well, but I don't know. I mean, Infinite does it really well. Like,
Bioshock Infinite.
Bioshock Infinite has, like, a really good opening. Half-Life 2 has a really good opening.
Oh, yeah, damn.
I love the kind of...
Except for when you play the game the second time around, and then you're like, fucking hurry up, seriously.
Okay, that doesn't happen with Infinite. Bioshock Infinite is so good at the beginning.
Okay. Half-Life 2, man, the first time I played that game, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Second time I played that game, I was like, man, I could be doing something else right now while I just fucking, like...
I keep intending to finish that game.
You haven't finished Half-Life 2?
I got so far into it, and then I had to do something else, and then it just never came up again.
Oh, dude, you should just go back and play the whole thing. And then... It's not long.
But playing it is so boring.
Is it? Half-Life 2 is fun as. I love the fucking... the shooting game. The shooting in that game is so good. So tight.
I don't know. Plus, I get the feeling like Bioshock Infinite is better in some ways. But only in the opening.
Hell nah.
Only the opening.
Not the opening, sure. But, like... Man, Half-Life 2 is fucking good. Talk about, like, a story you care about. Damn. That fucking game, man.
Oh, okay.
I kind of want to play that game again now. Maybe I'll do that tonight. Just play through Half-Life 2.
I'll see what I'm going to play. I'm going to get to Last of Us. I've got to get to Last of Us.
You should... Are you doing anything tomorrow?
No.
Okay. Tomorrow. Queue up every game on your Steam list to download that you haven't downloaded yet.
Yeah.
Download all of them in a day. And play through Last of Us from morning to night. Just finish it.
Yeah.
That's a good day. That's a day well spent.
Because I really like it. I mean, like you've said, like, the opening is very emotionally manipulative. And I don't really... I mean, it has that there, if you want to see it that way. But here's how I see it, so you don't get annoyed by it and it's actually good. It's basically making a point about the character and the world they're in.
You know, I understand that.
If you think about it as world building...
I understand. Dude, I certainly understand that sentiment. However, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil the thing that happens in the beginning of Last of Us.
The very beginning.
Killing a small child isn't the only way to do that. And it is probably the most emotionally manipulative way to do that.
I'll give you that, but I don't know, I think beyond that moment, the opening is really good in that...
Yeah, sure, yeah, it's just that one thing.
Okay. But, I mean, this is only so far as I've played in Last of Us, but what I've liked is that, like, Naughty Dog do these kind of awkward, different controls to what you're usually standard, what's the standard? Like...
Really? Jack and Dexter and Uncharted are pretty standard.
Uncharted feels like there are some, they're tiny, they're not, like, massive, but there are tiny differences that change, like, how you're used to games. You don't, like, spend hours worrying about it, but they're, like, tiny and... You know when you, like, play a different game that's not the main brand games that you usually used to? So you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of weird, but I'll just do it anyway.
Mm.
Like the jump button in Darksiders.
Circle.
Yeah.
Awkward. Gross.
Yeah, so there are a couple of controls like...
No, in Lollipop Chainsaw, you mean. Not Darksiders. Darksiders is X.
Oh, yeah, Lollipop Chainsaw. Sorry, getting my games confused.
Yep.
Last of Us is like, there are so many different controls that they have going on that, I don't know, I don't play shooters a lot, but...
It's not really a shooter, is it? It's more of like a stealthy game.
It's more of a stealth game, which I like. But they're clunky, but they're hard to learn, I'll say. But because of how they're setting it up, how you're just sort of going through these missions, they allow you to just feel the world and also, you know, do your own shit, which is nice. But I can see it's really good. It's Naughty Dog goodness.
Well, I'd really like for you to finish it so I can borrow it.
Yeah.
So should I get to that?
Because a lot of people have said this game is really good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by... I did not expect that it would be like, I kept waiting for the moment where I was like, oh no, it's shit. It's like, no joke, just, it looked good, guys. The trailers look good, but it's shit.
Hmm. But no, game of the year, probably. So far. Can't think of a single game that we know about.
Rayman Legends is game of the year.
Shut up. Yeah, is that it?
Yeah, that's about it. I guess we'll try and be a bit more regular.
Yeah, man, 2 weeks, bi-weekly. Do it.
We'll be bi-weekly from now on.
Sweet.
Get it done.
We could be trans-weekly. Get it.
Trans.
That was pretty unfunny.
That was pretty unfunny. And we're going to be playing a bunch more games, specifically me. So
yeah, I'm playing some of those PlayStation games I missed out on in the last few years.
And we can probably be more gaming-centric than we've ever been before.
Ever.
Have more topics, talk about whether games work or not. Just talk about what we're playing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wrote an article on why Oblivion is better than Skyrim. Read it.
I'll link in the description.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's a good review, guys.
They can just. I'm sure there's a link to my blog somewhere on the page. They'll find it. No. Actually, don't link it because then they'll actually click on it. Yeah, link it.
Link it. Okay.
But yeah, Oblivion is better than Skyrim. Here's why. Dun, dun, dun.
It's.
I actually really would have liked to go into a lot more detail, but I wrote it at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go into the dungeon templates for the two games and why the Oblivion ones are so much better, but I realized it would just be a whole lot of screenshots of the dungeons of the games, and it would take me ages to get them all.
Here's Henry's view of why. Everything feels samey, and the dungeons are boring. They're so boring.
Oh, well, Oblivion is more samey than in Skyrim. No. But it's just, it feels nicer. It's just, the dungeons are more attractive, I guess.
That's
the way to put it. I
get why Zelda is flawed and I get the problems with it, but God, its dungeons are so nice to explore.
Yeah, but there's only like 10 of them, you know what I mean?
I know.
As opposed to like 300.
I know, but God damn it. 10 fine meals is better than a million terrible
meals. Yeah, no, I completely agree, but that's not the kind of game that Elder Scrolls is.
I know, but I just...
It's a game where it does a whole lot of everything, but it does none of it well.
Yeah.
And the difference... A short summary of my article is exactly what I just said. It does a whole lot of everything, but none of it well. Only Oblivion finds a way to hide that from you. And it makes you feel like you're actually playing a sound game amongst your kind of exploration fantasy sim, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Skyrim, if anything, seems to try to just focus on all its problems all the time and doesn't hide them well at all. And so you're constantly reminded of the fact that you're playing a really, really bad game.
Yeah.
Where in Oblivion, you can kind of convince yourself that you're playing a decent game. Yeah.
And also, Dark Souls has convinced me, if there is a best armor in your game, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
Yeah, there's like a best armor in Skyrim, and it's like, look, no matter what you do, this is the best armor in the game.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's designed so that you can be like, progression, but who the fuck needs that shit?
Yeah. So I like Dark Souls. They have crazy armor.
Yeah, and progression comes through skill, not through stats. Sick. How it fucking should be.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's end this.
I don't want every game to be sort of hard skill, but I do prefer skill. Anyway, I'm rambling. That was cool, and, you know, see us next week.
Bye!